In Isaiah 43:4, it says, "Since you are precious in my sight, and because I love you," that's God's answer. You are precious in his sight, and because he loves you. Okay? So when you're feeling down and out and you lost the remote and you don't know where you're going, you open this book and you find new hope. I hope I have all the lines in Matthew. If not, I can open the book. So, scripture reading is Matthew 12:46-50. While he was still speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers were standing outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." But to the one who had told him this, Jesus replied, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." May God bless the reading of this word. Thank you.
Long before youth and family ministries leader Sarah Phila Marcolino graduated from Massachusetts College of Liberal Arts, my father, Franklin Smith, was class president for the same school back in 1951. Back then, it was called North Adams State Teachers College, NASTY for short. That's what he told me. And if he looks young in this photo, he is. His mother had started him a year early in school because she was a teacher herself and wanted to get back to the classroom. And some of my bad sense of humor can be blamed on my father, though many may say I should know better by now. But my dad would have probably attributed it to what he considered a better theory, more accurate theory of relativity. You know, Einstein could keep his E equals MC squared. The better theory of relativity, you probably know it, is you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your relatives. Now, in all seriousness, I know many people wish they could change characteristics about the family they grew up in. They may resent being deprived of privileges, or sense that they are depraved because of some of the privileges they did have. Now, some regrets are truly trivial. She made me take piano lessons. Some are deeply, deeply serious. So when I ask, mostly tongue-in-cheek, if there are any nuts in your family tree, I realize that might hit closer to home than you wish. But the question is, and you know, you use humor to kind of get in the door, but the question is, does what we've come from have to define where we are going? I'll tell you about a man named Arthur. He needed a new family tree. In the fall of 2020, I told you about a man I'm linked to, though we never met, Arthur Rauner Sr. His son, Arthur Jr., was a mentor to me and to many, the author of 30 books, pastor of a 3,000-member church for 30 years, and leader of an international reconciliation ministry instrumental in healing the wounds of the Rwandan genocide. That's the son. The father had a difficult row to hoe. And I'm just going to repeat what I said then. As an 8-year-old boy growing up in Nebraska, the Arthur we refer to as Senior, Arthur Senior, well, back then, he's just Arthur, he witnessed his mother kill his father because of the father's brutality. Senior realized he needed to build his own heritage, choose his own influences. He started working to support himself and his mother. Later, he worked his way through Harvard. Along the way, he became state high jumping champion and a national YMCA weightlifting champion. One of the men he chose to emulate was Abraham Lincoln. I once saw in Arthur Jr.'s study what looked like a sculpture of the face of Abraham Lincoln. And I asked him about it. It wasn't a sculpture. As a way of focusing on the man he wanted to become like, Senior had sought out and found and purchased one of only four masks in existence made by being directly pressed onto the face of Abraham Lincoln. As a grown man, Arthur Sr. helped to grow churches in Maine and New Hampshire before serving as pastor of Cadman Memorial Church in New York City, Brooklyn section. As he arrived in New York in 1947, he had the privilege of providing pastoral support to one of the active members there, Branch Rickey, who, as president of the Brooklyn Dodgers baseball team, was partnering with Jackie Robinson to put an end to segregation in Major League Baseball. When you start the journey with Jesus, you never know where it's going to lead. And by the way, that was not Arthur Sr.'s only foray into civil rights. We will be impacted by the DNA we inherit from our ancestors, and also by patterns of behavior that were ingrained in us through our growing up years. But that does not have to be the end of the matter. In fact, our scripture readings this morning make it clear that it must not end there. In what's already been read for us, in the passage I'll direct your attention to now, we who would be disciples of Jesus Christ are called to choose God's fatherhood over mere genetics. Please listen as I read Matthew chapter 10, verses 21 to 23, and then 34 to 39. Brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child. Children will rise against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, says Jesus. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I tell you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. And then at 34. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. One's foes will be members of one's old household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who will find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. These readings surprise you at the least and perhaps scandalize you at the worst. After all, don't we hear that family values are Christian values? How could Jesus possibly say that we need to choose between the two? Well, Jesus had some very good reasons for his disciples to prefer him over genetic family. In the time and place in which Jesus lived, many people were waiting eagerly for God's Messiah, his anointed Savior, to come and rescue the children of Israel. Unfortunately, many people were taking for themselves the privilege of deciding what that rescue would look like. I'm sure they thought they were agreeing with God in this matter. Their expectations were skewed, though, by the circumstances they had experienced. They were expecting a military king like King David come back to life. The idea that they had a greater need to be saved but from their own stubborn disobedience and brokenness didn't occur to them. Their enemies were all out there, if you will. Legalism, small-minded parochialism, they were thick as thieves among their leaders. So much so that to many they were invisible, like it was the air they breathed. You know, you don't think about the air you breathe. A generation later, the Apostle Paul would write that he bowed before the Father, from whom all families derive their name. Another translation is from whom all fatherhood is named. You know, some people say, well, we're all God's children. As if it means everybody can do whatever they want. A better way to look at that is to act as if Father knows best. As Jesus said in the passage that Bob read for us, his family are those who do the will of his Father in heaven. You know, there was a movement a little while ago among some Christian groups to avoid calling God Father, because so many people have been scarred by the misdeeds of their earthly fathers. Well, thankfully, most have come to realize that this is actually the very reason we should call God Father, because he is the right kind of Father, the kind that will be there for you, provide for you, guide you, and never let you down. From time to time, Cindy will have us sing the hymn, Stand Up for Jesus. And one lyric says, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. And the phrase is, that phrase is itself drawn from the book of Psalms. Don't we know this to be true from experience? The arm of flesh will fail you. I sing the other day, Ted Williams was an amazing athlete, but many of us can picture him, one of our last memories of him, as a very old man having to be driven to the pitcher's mound at Fenway Park in order to throw out the first pitch of the All-Star game in 99. The arm of flesh will fail you. And it's not our own arms only that will fail us. The people we want to trust or feel we ought to be able to trust will also fail us. When those arms are our parents or others who brought us up, what are we to do? Well, let's start by considering the apparently intentional failures. There are far too many people whose growing up experiences included deeply scarring abuse that the perpetrator ought to be held accountable for. You know, in what world is it ever right to hit a small child? How could someone ever justify failing to clean a child too young to wash themselves? I will not go on, but you know I could. However, it's a hard fact that some people feel absolutely trapped in patterns of behavior that they still should be held responsible for. When they do act wrongly toward a child, they feel at the moment like there's nothing else they could do, like they're out of control. That's why I said apparently intentional. If they get the help they need, they can indeed come to a place where they see that even in the heat of the moment, they did have choices that they should have exercised. But at the moment, there seemed to them no other option. They could not see clear what to do. Remember, the point here is that while as children we need our parents to come through, and they indeed ought to be expected to come through, as we grow, we need to rely on God as our ultimate Father and not require our parents to have been perfect. Even if they were terrific, there will always be times when they demonstrate failure from frailty. I've seen great preachers absolutely tank. I've seen mighty sluggers strike out. I recently heard a terrific featured soloist bomb in front of hundreds. Flesh will fail because flesh is frail. Better to take our identity from our Heavenly Father. Now, if you know me at all, you know I had a very close relationship with my father until he died suddenly during my senior year of high school. It wasn't too long afterward that someone introduced me to the verse that was part of our call to worship, and I think it was the verse that was missing in what Bob had. And it makes sense, but I don't need to go into that for you. But that verse was Psalm 68:5, Father of orphans and protector of widows is God in his holy habitation. There's so much we can learn from the 12-step recovery process used by AA and other recovery groups because the founders deliberately used scriptural principles. You know, you can hear talk about stinking thinking. The reprogramming of our mind that has to happen in order to learn a new, sober way of life, to overwrite the stinking thinking. If you grew up abandoned or abused by your parents, choose deliberately God's fatherhood. Moses said it first. The author of Hebrews repeated it. God has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Know that I am with you through it all, he says. Elsewhere in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus said that not a sparrow falls apart from the Father's will. And take heart, you are worth more than many sparrows. We may face struggles, but none of us was going to live here forever anyway. God has prepared a place for us where we can truly live as his children. Choose his fatherhood. So take a moment and think back to the passage I read. Was Jesus telling us to discard the family who raised us? The one who loves father or mother or son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. I came to cleave apart a man and his father and a woman and her mother. Is he throwing out the importance of caring for your family? Hardly. In Mark 7, some of the leaders of the religious establishment were trying to drum up charges of blasphemy against Jesus. But they poked the tiger. Jesus turned the table on them. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother, let him surely die. That's Jesus speaking. And he says, but you, the Pharisees and such, you say, if a man tells his father or mother, what you have gained from me is korban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God through your tradition which you hand on. Jesus would not have us neglect the commandments of God. In a dysfunctional family, you could be expected to do immoral things and told that to not do them would be, well, disobeying your parents. Perhaps you've heard that Tessa Afshar is coming next month. I know I've only scantly mentioned it. Her first book was about Rahab, the prostitute in Jericho who ends up being a great help to the Israelites. One of the first points that Tessa brings up in her book about her, Rahab asks for asylum not only for herself, but also for her family, including her parents. Things that make you go, didn't you kind of expect that all prostitutes were estranged from their parents? What were they thinking, acting like their daughter's prostitution was okay? What was wrong with them? Want her answer? Get the book Pearl and Sand and come to the brunch. But in reality, making God the object of our primary loyalty improves our love for our earthly family. You'll do what's really loving. Sometimes people ask us to do things for them that really aren't best for them. But if you make God the object of your primary loyalty and seek to please Him, you will be truly loving towards your parents. It may take them a while to understand why you've changed, and some might never understand. But you're actually being kinder to them by pointing them toward a way of life that leads to real and eternal life. If you had a great childhood, praise God. Continue to lean on Him. If you've been overcoming your childhood all your adult life, you are not alone and welcome to the family of God. Now, for whatever reason, you're somewhere in the middle, you're still welcome here. Because we are brothers and sisters. Behold what manner of love the Father has given to us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. Apostle John wanted to make it plain. The primary identity of every Christian believer is as a child of God. Has that sunk in? Well, first of all, have you established it? Have you made it so? Jesus stands at the door of every human heart and says, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and share table fellowship with you." He's knocking. Invite him in. If you want to know how to get started, just ask any of the deacons. And once that's settled, and whether you settled it today or 40 years ago, live in your identity as a child of God. There will be nagging voices inside your head. Very likely the devil or his slave, telling you that you aren't really a child of God, that you're a fake, or something else. Now, who are you going to believe? How's the credibility of the author of evil in your book? Or are you going to believe the one who died on a cross so you could be restored and live forever? Live in your identity as a child of God. And live in it by paying attention to the family business. Jesus came to his home synagogue, stood up to read, and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free." In Samaritan's Purse, we paraphrase this as save lives, reduce suffering, share the love of Jesus. It's a family business. You can do the family business so many different ways. You can run the produce department at Shaw's or countless other jobs. Provide a valuable service and take care of the people you work with. Live in the family business, the kingdom of God. But also live in the family privileges. Your life is never meaningless. While God gives you breath, he gives you a purpose. As your days are, so shall your strength be. Live in that purpose. Another privilege that is that God has a family for you. You need never be alone. You know, our small groups are families. Cindy makes sure the choir is a family. The groups that make meals together, same thing. And you who are in those groups, make sure there's room for one more always. In 2011, I first traveled to India to help with the training of pastors in the Evangelical Church of India, ECI. My host was Tom Curry, a pastor colleague from my days in Indiana. And the church he served there had begun some orphanages called Hope Homes. Well, after teaching in Vijayawada and on Kol, we traveled south to meet the leader of the ECI, Ezra Sarganam, at the Madras Theological Seminary in the city of Chennai. That's the top of that picture. And while my travel partner was addressing the student body, Tom pointed out a certain student in the front row. He had met her about a dozen years before when she was a five-year-old, coming to live in one of the Hope Home orphanages. The staff and fellow residents of the Hope Home had indeed spoken hope into her and helped her be transformed from a child in need to a young adult equipped to bring hope to many living in superstition and fear. That's what I remember then. I exchanged some messages with Tom over the weekend. Her name is Jaya Bala. After graduating from the school I saw her at, she had a Bachelor's of Divinity, she went on to study at Rajiv Gandhi University of Health Sciences and gained her nursing certificate. She's since worked as a nursing tutor, registered nurse in oncology, and is now an intensive care nurse. She has chosen, this is a girl who was more or less on the street. She has chosen God's fatherhood over mere genetics and chose to live in her new identity as a child of God. God's ability to transform is unstoppable. It doesn't matter if you have nuts in your family tree. You can choose God's fatherhood over mere genetics. And when you do, the possibilities are endless. Let us go and do likewise. Pray with me. Oh Lord, help us truly to anchor our identity in your family. Yours is the ancestry that matters. Help us with each challenge that is ours, and help us to be ambassadors of your eternal family. We pray your healing upon those for whom there are wounds that need that healing. Come alongside them. Assure them. Help us to be your instruments in helping their journey. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.